Could I ask you to turn God's Word this morning to Genesis and chapter 40. In Genesis 40, again, we come to the study of Joseph, and it's quite a lengthy reading this morning. We will read from Genesis chapter 40, verse 6, and we will read through into chapter 41 and verse 14. So Genesis 40, and commencing to reading at verse 6. Let us hear the Word of the living God. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in mine hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing, that they should put me into the dungeon. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, and Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the 2nd time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in 1 night, and I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own truth. Let's unite our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us as we come and gather around his word this morning, please. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we bow before thee in the worthy and peerless name of thy dear Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thee thanks and praise for everything that he has accomplished on behalf of his people. And we thank thee for the cross. Yes, like the Apostle Paul, we say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to thee and we confess we feel our emptiness. And yet, Lord, in all this, it is the proper place for us to be. For, Lord, we are empty that thou shouldest fill us. And we pray, O God, that thou would wash me in the precious blood of the Lamb. And I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Ghost and give me words from thyself, those words that shall and must prevail. Lord, grant that thy word would have free course, that thy children would be edified, that those cold in heart will be warmed again, and for any that are outside of the Savior, that this day they will shut in with him and his free offer. O God, hear our prayer and accept of our thanks. Drive the enemy far from our gathering. And Lord, may there be the stillness of eternity upon us. For we pray these things in our Savior's precious and his worthy name. Amen. Now, in her book, Tramp for the Lord, Corrie ten Boom describes her release from a Nazi concentration camp. And she writes as follows: 1 week before the order came to kill all the women of my age, I was free. I do not understand all the details of my release from Ravensbrück. All I know, it was a miracle of God. The gates swung open, and I glimpsed the lake in front of the camp. I could smell freedom. I walked slowly through the gate, never looking back. Behind me, I heard the hinges squeak as the gate shut. I was free. And flooding through my mind were the words of Christ to the church at Philadelphia. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. God opened a prison door for Joseph, and Joseph knew it. The key of divine providence fitted the lock of that eastern jail. And Joseph walked out a free man, heading towards the palace of the most powerful man in the world. And this morning, as we make our way through the narrative to find how Joseph arrived at this point of freedom, I trust we will glean some divine instruction upon the way. Now, the last time we were studying Joseph, we noted his punishment, how he was imprisoned because of the malice and revenge of an evil woman. But this curse was turned to a blessing, for God was with Joseph in the prison. And God caused Joseph to prosper, and hence Joseph was promoted to the position of chief warden. And being blessed by God, he himself became a blessing to others. And we watched him as he matured, spiritually speaking. And we studied his pious character, especially his humble service and tender, genuine concern for others. We finished with Joseph's words in chapter 40 and the verse number 7. Wherefore look ye so sadly today? This was an evidence of Joseph's true religion. He was one who could rejoice with them that rejoiced, but he was also one that could weep with those who wept. And so we pick up our study today at verse 8. And we draw alongside compassionate Joseph as he sits beside a couple of worried inmates. I have entitled this portion that we will consider, From Fetters to Freedom. From Fetters to Freedom. Now, the first thing I want to draw your attention to this morning is Joseph, the faithful man. Joseph, the faithful man. Now, the reason for the butler and baker's sadness is revealed and is given to us in verse 8. And they felt that Joseph was someone they could open up to, someone they could tell, and he would not think it a trivial matter. And so they respond to his genuine inquiry, and they say, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." Now, we have already briefly considered what dreams mean in Scripture, and I'll not go over that again, but suffice to say, it does belong to the realm of special revelation. And here God again was revealing his purposes unto men. These dreams again were not of the norm, because they made such an impression upon these prisoners that they realized there was a message contained within it. The fact that they could not discern the message, it troubled them. They were in ignorance with respect to the knowledge of God's ways. And Joseph here, he faithfully honors God and accredits to the Lord the ability to interpret dreams. Look what he says in verse 8. "Do not interpretations belong unto God?" Now, this was a rhetorical question. Joseph was going to make a statement. And so he puts this question in this way, and he was going to make the statement that the one, the God whom he worships, is the one alone who can declare the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, as Isaiah 46 verse 10 tells us. Joseph was saying, "My God knows the future. He is omniscient," and this will be proved in the interpretations of the dreams and the fulfillment of them. Joseph faithfully declared that it was God who is the depository of all wisdom. He simply was a dispenser of God's wisdom. And this honor that was given to God by Joseph, it was also given to God by another man. Another man who was in captivity in a foreign land. Daniel, when confronted with the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, he said that there is a God in heaven which revealeth secrets. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. John the Baptist, in a similar manner, in his humility, echoes that sentiment with those well-known words, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see, these three men, Joseph, Daniel, and John the Baptist, they faithfully exalted God, and they always directed people at the earliest opportunity to the Lord and away from self. They never, as it were, drew attention to themselves or called to themselves, "Look at me with my gifts, my abilities, my talent." But at the earliest opportunity, they always declared that it was God who enabled them. And they always directed people at the earliest to the Lord. This is the responsibility and the privilege of every child of God. It is not an attitude that we should possess, "Look at me." Rather, look at him. Look at him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we are told that the ministers of the Lord are stewards of the mysteries of God. And it is required in stewards that a man is found faithful. Now, Joseph was about to reveal the mysteries of God, and he was going to do it in a faithful manner. He would keep nothing back. He would not dilute the message or seek to please men. Rather, he wanted to please God. And so he tells these men, "Tell me them, I pray you." Here he is, now as a faithful steward, going to interpret these dreams. Now the butler goes first, and we have the details recorded in verses 9 to 11. Now there were in Egypt dollar interpreters, it has to be said, who with methods of human psychology may have determined that this was a dream of a man who desired to be restored to his position once again. But Joseph immediately reveals the part of the dream which no human astuteness could have rightly interpreted. Look what he says straight away. He says in verse 12, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Only God knew that the branches represented time. And only God knew that those three branches represented 3 days and not 3 months or 3 years. And so Joseph, he tells the butler that in 3 days, he will be restored to his position once again. Now, no doubt, Joseph was a wise man. But he needed something more than human wisdom to interpret these dreams. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And God revealed these things unto him by his Spirit. For it is the Spirit that searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And here we have emphasized for us that if you and I are to share the will of God with others, with those who are in spiritual ignorance and in blindness, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. It does not matter how much learning you have. It does not matter if you can quote the Westminster Confession back to front and front to back. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And Joseph was a man that was Spirit-filled. Now in hearing the favorable interpretation, the baker, he's encouraged to share his dream. Matthew Henry commented on that, hypocrites, when they hear good things promised to good Christians, would put in for a share, though they have no part in the matter. And Joseph, too, gives the meaning of the baker's dream. And can you picture the baker's face, his expression? There's Joseph continuing along. The three baskets are 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up thy head. And he's thinking, this is all good. This is exactly what he told the butler. But Joseph says, he'll lift up thy head from off thee and hang thy body upon the tree. See, Joseph, in this instance, was not a savor of life unto life. Rather, he was a savor of death unto death. And he did not cut the cloth to suit the crowd, but he told it as it was. Yes, he had compassion for that man. And yes, he saw his sad countenance. But he wasn't going in to butter him up with some deceitful message. Child of God, we must be faithful in our witness. Yes, there is a heaven. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. There is grace. There is love. There's all these wonderful things, but there's also wrath and hell and judgment and vengeance which belongs unto God. And we must be balanced as we share with others. Joseph was proven to be a faithful man, a faithful prophet of God, because we read in verses 20 to 22 that these things were fulfilled. Jeremiah 28 verse 9 tells us that when the word of a prophet comes to pass, then it is known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Joseph was sent into this prison to faithfully bear witness to the revealed will of God to these men. Joseph was the faithful man. But secondly, I want us to notice Joseph, the forgotten man. Joseph, the forgotten man. After Joseph interprets the dream of the butler, he makes this request in verse 14. Look at it with me, please. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Now, this appeal to the butler to speak a kind word in the ear of Pharaoh was surely the least that the butler could do when he was released. Joseph knew by his own dreams many, many years before that God would exalt him. And some commentators here, they try to find fault in Joseph and say that Joseph's request shows that he had lost confidence in God and was starting to put his confidence in man. That's harsh, considering all we have observed of this young godly man. Joseph, in dependence upon God, made use of all proper and legitimate means that were available to him. And means are always used in order to an end. And of course, they are subordinate to the divine will. But never forget means, child of God. It's how God in providence brings his divine will to pass. For example, it may be that you are sick and desire the Lord to touch you, to heal you. Well, if you neglect the means that he's provided, doctors, nurses, medication, medical procedures, can you very well expect God to touch your bodily frame? It's like the illustrative anecdote of a man who was trapped in a burning building. And he cries out to God to save him. And then a fireman appears at the window. But the man who's trapped, he says, "No, I don't want to be rescued by you. I've already asked God to come and save me." He neglects the means. And we want others to be saved. And salvation is of the Lord. It is his own sovereign work. And yet, he uses the means of you asking them to a gospel meeting. I wonder, will you do that tonight? We know that God is sovereign. And we want God to bring people in a special move that we read about in revival. But never neglect the means. When we're not in revival, don't neglect the means. Hand out a gospel tract. Share a personal word of testimony. This is not losing confidence in God. This is having faith in what he has revealed. Because he uses all legitimate and proper and biblical means to bring about his desired end. Although the respect paid to Joseph made the prison as easy for him as prison could be, none could blame Joseph for desiring freedom. And he makes his case for freedom in verse 15. Look what he says. "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon." I want you to notice something from Joseph's defense. You notice he does not speak about his brethren that sold him. He simply says, "I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews." Nor does he reflect upon the wrong that his mistress and master had done unto him. You see, Joseph, when he was vindicating himself, was careful not to speak ill of others. He would not upbraid them with their guilt and seeking to prove his own innocence. I wonder, would we have done that? Are we not prone to smear others? And point out their faults and their failures, all the while seeking to build ourselves up. And yet here's Joseph, and he does none of that. May you be careful with your tongue. May I be careful with my tongue, trying to make ourselves appear better by smearing the guilt upon others. Moving forward 3 days, in verse 23 we read, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." The forgotten man. The butler forgot to speak a word to Pharaoh, not only on the day in which he was elevated to his job, but for 2 whole years. And Joseph's expectation turned to suspense. And his suspense changed to hope. And his hope vanished into despair. Joseph is wronged yet again. He thought the butler's kindness might have meant his release from prison, but it was not to be, for God had another purpose. You see, if Joseph had been released that day that the butler was elevated, where would Joseph have gone? Where would he have gone? He would have went back to the father's house. He would have been back to Canaan. He would have went away from pagan Egypt, which had treated him so unjustly. He would have went exactly where he shouldn't have been, out of the will of God. Child of God, it may be that in life we are in the prison house of trying experiences. And you maybe want to run away and flee from it all. And you might think to yourself, if only I was released now from it. This pain, this affliction, this burden that I carry upon my body and upon my soul. If only it was now, then I will do something for God. Then I could do more for God. But here we see that God's timing, as well as his way, is perfect. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. You may just have to wait. The hymn writer said, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Just leave it to thy God to order it and to provide. In every change he faithful will remain." You know, to wait is the hardest position for the soldier of Christ to adopt. And yet, wait he must. Joseph must be delivered, and his liberty must come about under particular circumstances ordained and organized by God. But here he is, the forgotten man. Child of God, you might feel you are forgotten. Maybe some listening in on the internet, or maybe we'll get the CD, and you're elderly or you're at home and you think you're forgotten by man. Well, let me remind you, like Joseph, you are remembered by God. God remembers his own. You thought about Joseph the faithful man and Joseph the forgotten man. But in the last place, I want to think about Joseph the free man. Joseph remained in prison, as we read in Psalm 105, verse 18, until the time came that his word, or until the time that his word came, until the divine decree which summoned the opening of the prison doors came to pass and made an impact in Joseph's life. Yes, Joseph was securely shut up in a dingy dungeon. But more importantly, he was safely shut up in a divine decree. And that's a good place to be. But God's about to move. The deists would suggest that God does not interfere in the affairs of men. That he's just some great watchmaker. At the beginning, he made all things, wound it up, and let it get on with itself. But God does intervene. God brings all things to pass. He does work for and on the behalf of his people. And this is seen many times in Scripture. And here in chapter 41, God's about to work. Keen's sleep and dream as well as subjects. And on a certain night, God caused Pharaoh to dream two dreams, so distinct and yet in many ways so similar. The dreams were thoroughly Egyptian, and because of time, not this week, maybe next, I can't go into them. But these dreams, they again were vividly impressed upon the mind of this heathen king. And this heathen king was unconscious that he was an instrument of God's will. You know, that's what God is able to do. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he wills. Kings and presidents, and prime ministers and heads of state, and potential candidates, they're all in the hand of Almighty God. This should rejoice our heart. In the morning, Pharaoh was troubled. He calls for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt, but none of them could interpret his dreams, for the world by its wisdom knew not God. This would not be the last time that God would confound magicians, wise men, reveal them to be charlatans, impostors, frauds, pretenders. He did it in Moses' day. He did it in Daniel's day. And God still reveals deceivers today. He still pulls back that cloak of deceit and shows them for what they are. But in the royal court there was a man whose mind was exercised to remember. The butler's memory was pricked by what he had observed before him happening in the court of Pharaoh. And he spoke to Pharaoh, "I do remember my faults this day." He had forgotten about Joseph. He had forgotten about the one who had shown him so much kindness and served him in prison and cared for his soul and brought him a message of deliverance, all the while getting nothing in return. This man forgot about Joseph. Better late than never, some might say. And now he relates the story of this obscure Hebrew prisoner who under God interpreted his own and the baker's dreams correctly, and now he begins to recommend him to Pharaoh. Pharaoh in verse 14 says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." I'm sure this happened on a day Joseph never expected. Yes, he may have expected freedom on the day that the butler was released. Maybe even the first week, convincing himself that the butler had not found that opportune moment to bring up his case to Pharaoh. But not this day. Yet how suddenly God comes to set his people free. Joseph could say, "This is my God. And I have waited for him, and he has saved me." The scene happened so hurriedly before us. Guards and servants jump to attention. They call for Joseph. They open the prison doors. They bring him a change of raiment. They bring him things to freshen himself up. God had placed this open door before Joseph. No man could shut it. This was the beginning of his exaltation. His humiliation is past. And you cannot help but smile for Joseph. And think of him as he makes his way down the corridors of the palace for an audience with the king. I must end. But I do think it is fitting that God has brought us to this point in the life of Joseph on Remembrance Sunday. I marvel at God's sovereign providence. Today is a day that is set aside to ensure that we do not forget the kindness and the sacrifice of others. And yet above all that, we are called to remember our greater Joseph. The Lord Jesus Christ, who showed his great love towards us, selflessly serving others in the days of his flesh, coming and preaching peace to them that are afar off, bringing to us a message of eternal life and deliverance, and going to the cross to make atonement for our souls. And even there at Calvary, there is a resemblance between Joseph and the Savior. For Joseph's fellow sufferers were like the two thieves that were crucified with the Savior. One was saved, and the other was condemned. One of these prisoners, when Joseph said to him, "Remember me when it shall be well with thee," forgot him. One of those thieves, when he said to Christ, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," was remembered. The chief butler's ingratitude to Joseph was a fault. And yet at times we are prone to forget what Christ has done for us. I wonder, child of God, have you a fault this day? When is the last time you gathered round this table to remember the Lord's death? I know there is circumstances and mitigating factors that individuals cannot be here. But this butler forgot the kindness of one who served him so humbly and brought to him a message of liberty. And yet God's children can get up and walk out. And we are called to remember what he did for us. I wonder, will you say to the great sovereign, "I remember my faults this day. Repent of them. And linger around the table. For Christ says, this do in remembrance of me." From fetters to freedom. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, and may we live out even what we have read in the portion this morning.